Okay, so we'll start with that piece about Hallel that we referenced or started to reference last week. And then we'll see some of his insights on the Haggadah. And then we'll end with a little Sfiras HaOmer Torah. Okay, so we have a lot to do. Baruch Hashem, we'll move quickly and we'll enjoy every word of it. Okay, says the Avodah Yisrael, Bilel Pesach Nizgala HaOr HaBahir UBiprat B'Shah SheOmrim Hallel. We mentioned last week already that Hallel is sort of the moment when Pesach arrives. And again, Pesach, as we'll see, we'll get to it when we get to the Sfiras HaOmer ideas. Pesach is sort of, again, this explosion of Kedusha, followed by this slower process of Sfiras HaOmer, where we're able to slowly absorb that Kedusha and try to hold on to that Kedusha. But when is the moment when is that first moment when it happens? And the answer is Hallel. Not the Hayid, or the Hallel at the end of the Seder, at the step called Hallel, but really the Hallel of Shul. When you say Hallel in Shul, with a bracha, the full Hallel, again, as is the practice of most, that's the moment where you're, so to speak, opening the windows, to use the mashal from last time, remember, opening the curtains, opening the windows, opening the blinds, to let the light of Hashem shine into your world. So on Leil Pesach, on the night of Pesach, there's an unbelievable radiance, an illumination that is coming down to the world, specifically by Hallel. She'ein zeh kol lashana v'yamim tovim. Because this is a unique thing to Pesach. We don't have this by other holidays. You don't say Hallel on the night of Sukkot. You don't say Hallel on the night of Shavuos. You don't say Hallel on the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's a unique thing, legabe Pesach. He brings a remez, he says, Hallel gamor is the same gematria as Shin, Dalet, and Yud, the name Shakai, Shayim Meshadid Ma'arachus. That's the name of Hashem that indicates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spinning of the world, keeping the world moving, arranging and organizing and rotating the constellations of the world, keeping things moving. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the third halacha, when he talks about Avram's discovery of Hashem, he says that Avram looked at the world and was intrigued by exactly this question. What makes everything move? Who's the one who organizes everything? Right? He couldn't wrap his head around it. There can't be Avodah Zarah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the night of Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say Hallel Gamor, we remind ourselves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's responsibility for the organizing and arranging of our world. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Hilula Bebesa Meraps in Igra. That's not an exact quote from the Gemara, but the Gemara has a very similar line in Meseches Psachim on Daf Pehe. You can look in your Gemara if you don't believe me. That Hilula Bebesa, when they would say Hallel, Miraps and Igra, the roofs would be, you know, blown off. The Gemara has a whole discussion about where one would recite Hallel and where one eats Karban Pesach. The halacha is that to eat the Karban Pesach, you have to be on the ground floor. That roofs and upper decks were not sanctified with the sanctity of Jerusalem. So therefore, what would people do? There were a lot of people in Yerushalayim, Pesach time. So people would take turns eating Karban Pesach on the lower floor, and then they would go up to the rooftops in order to what? In order to say Hallel. So the Gemara's Lashon actually is Kezesa Pisha, a small kezias of Karban Pesach, and the roofs were shaking. Right? I mean, that was the whole mitzvah, a little piece of meat, and yet the Hallel was so thunderous that the roofs were mamish shaking. Okay? So he brings here a mashal from the Zohar Kadosh of a king who sent away his son. And the king comes to check on his son, and he wants to see what's happening, how is his son doing, right? And that's really what Hashem is doing to us. We're in Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us on Pesach, so to speak, and he's peeking through our window. And again, that peeking through the window is in accordance with how much we open the window, right? If we open just a crack, then maybe we'll catch a glimpse of Hashem. If we open the blinds all the way, we'll be able to let tremendous light into our homes. And therefore, the Hallel, right, is sort of the moment where we blow off the rooftops, where we open ourselves up completely to receive that awesome light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's what it means. V'tzarech b'hilula lirpos igrin. When we say Hallel, we need to what? We need to break down all the barriers. Ratzolomar lishbur kol ha'igarin uksalin shalo yitzarech or HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahashkiach min hachalonos. We don't want Hashem to just be peeking through the window anymore. We don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, peering through the slats in the blinds. Rather, what do we want? We want V'nigla Kvod Hashem La'inei Kol. We want Hashem to reveal Himself completely. Again, we don't want to be like that exiled child in the Mashal of the Zohar, whose father sent him away, and then the father comes and he's peeking through the window to see, you know, what's with my son? Does he miss me? Does he care about me? Does he remember me? Does he look sad? Does he feel the pain of being banished from the kingdom? So when we come to Hallel, when Hashem comes to visit us, so to speak, at the opening moments of Pesach, and we say Hallel, we say it strong, we say it right, Hashem is so happy to say, ah, good, the Jews are in Galus, and they still remember me. They're excited to receive me. They've prepared their homes and they've prepared their hearts to be Mekabel Hashem. But however, the challenge begins that right after Hallel, we just receive such a blast that it's hard to hold on to all that Kedusha. And therefore, the entire Seder night and everything that follows during 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer is all about absorbing that light, of being able to create vessels to contain that light. Elishala acher ha-halel, after we said halel, says the Kajetzer Magid, yochala ur ha-bahir li-stalik mimenu. We're concerned that great clarity is going to be lost. There's times in your life. I remember a particular trip to Israel. I remember I once went on behalf of Yeshiva University on a recruiting trip to Israel. I've gone, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. But I remember one particular trip that I had an encounter with a certain tzaddik there, and I was mamish. I remember like just being on fire from it. I remember I felt different. I can still like tap, I can close my eyes and like tap into that feeling. There's times in your life. I remember davening shachris, another example in my personal life. I remember davening shachris after coming back from visiting, you know, the concentration camps, Shana Aleph. I went on a trip to different parts of Europe and to Prague, and I came back, and I remember the feeling of being so overjoyed coming back from, you know, from visiting those places, to come back to Arzeinu HaKadosha, to come back to Eretz Yisrael. I remember davening shachris. We came from the airport, went straight to the Kotel to daven. I could picture myself standing at the Kotel. I could feel that. I could feel the Kedusha, the appreciation for being in Eretz Yisrael at that moment. So everyone has moments where, you know, where like everything is just crystal clear to you. Pesach is supposed to be a moment in the calendar that if we open up our windows and we open up our neshamas, we can mamish receive everything. We can become Jews. We can literally leave Mitzrayim again. But it's hard to hold on to that, right? You have those unique moments in life, but it's hard to maintain that. So I remember I came back from that trip from Eretz Yisrael. I remember feeling like, you know, just on fire for like a certain number of days, just so spiritually tapped in. And over time, that, you know, that dissipates, right? A little over a year ago, I was zochet to go to, you know, to Uman and to Breslov and to visit, you know, some of the places where different tzaddikim are buried. First time I'd ever been to certain places, and I came back. I remember being like in a certain, you know, I tapped in a certain way. So the Seder night is an opportunity to tap in a big way, but obviously afterwards that light starts to dissipate. And therefore, tzorach lahamshich alav, we need to maintain that kedusha. We need to find a way to hold on to that kedusha. And how do we do that? The tzorach lahamshich alav a kedusha acher kach bekiddush uva matzah uva dalid kosos. Everything that we're going to do, the seder is trying to hold on to it. We drink the dalid kosos of chemla, the 4 cups of our redemption, corresponding as well to the 4 cups of tar'ela, which is the 4 cups of, so to speak, the poison. Poisonous cups that Hashem is going to pour out or force the world to drink as He brings the Geula, as He strips them of their power. That Hashem is going to force the wicked ones of the earth to consume. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this opportunity again to receive in such an amazing way. Okay? Jumping ahead just a couple of lines. Then we say Kaddish. Kaddish Orchatz. What is Kaddish Orchatz? Uperish shel kadesh. Everyone see where we are? Uperish shel kadesh. Shitzarech lahazmin atzma lakadosh baruch hu. What is kedushin we mentioned in the past? When you stand under a chuppah and you say, Harei at mekudesh esli, you're saying that you and the woman who you're marrying are what? Are designated to each other. Kiddushin, Kiddusha in general, means what? Designated. You're Makadesh this animal. You sanctify this animal. You designate it as Kodshim. It's going to be a Karban. Right? It's a lashon of inviting and designating. Uperish al Kadesh, Shetzarach lahazmin atzmo lakadosh baruch hu. You need to designate and to invite yourself or to receive the invitation of Hashem to come to draw close to Hashem. Sheperish shel kadesh hi hazmana. Kadesh means what? Invitation, designation. Kamo aperish shel harei at mekudesh asli. Like we just said, you are betrothed to me, but it means you are designated to me. What does it mean? Shetehei mizuman asli. Vasura l'kuli alma kehektish. The Gemara explains, Kedushin Dafhei, that when a person gets married, the relationship is exclusive, the same way that hektish, an animal, let's say, that's designated for the Beis HaMikdash, or an object that's sanctified, designated as hektish, is no longer accessible to the masses, it's no longer mundane, it's designated, you're not allowed to use it in a regular way anymore. That the chasan and kala are designated one to another. So too, we start the Seder, Kadesh, Hashem, I want to marry you. Kiddushin. When do we complete the marriage, Chevra? Probably Shavuos, right? Shavuos, once again, we're fully under the chuppah. But we've expressed at the Seder, we express our intention to marry Hashem, to be designated to Hashem, to get rid of all of our chametz, to be totally focused and prepared to receive Hashem. And then we say, Orchatz. What does the word Orchatz mean? To wash. We wash our hands for karpas. But more than that, Shitzarech lirchotz uletar asatzmo l'kodesh baruch hu. Obviously, it's part of cleansing and preparing ourselves, again, to receive Hashem, to be close to Hashem. But Rechitza is a lashon of bitachon. Very interesting. Can underline that. Urchatz, the Sarim bring, is a lashon of bitachon. Where do we see that urchatz is a lashon of bitachon? Anyone know? You say it every week. Maybe you even sing it in your synagogue.
Be'ana rachitz.
That's right. Be'ana rachitz. At the end of Brich Shemei. Right? What does that mean? Be'ana rachitz. Be'ana rachitz. Be'ana rachitz. Hashem, we trust in you. We have bitachon in you. In Aramaic, rachatz is a lashon of bitachon. Be'ana rachatz. So reurchatz is a lashon of what? Of bitachon. Rechitza, he says, is rachatz, yud, and hey. To trust yud and hey. To trust Hashem. Ratzalomer shetehei bitchono ba'kadosh baruch hu. The Seder night is a reset, chevra. Throw away your chametz. Get rid of your avodah zarah. Open up your minds, open up your hearts, open up your windows, receive the light of Hashem, and then lock it in as best as you can for the entire year. It's called the Seder because it what? It organizes the entire year. It's the first month of the year. No, it's not. Tishrei is. No, it's not. Nisan is. Nisan is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Why do we have our Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei? Great question. Tishrei is also the starting point of the year. But in a very simple sense, this is the Seder. We're organizing our lives for the entire year. So we're trying to remind ourselves of our exclusivity in our relationship with Hashem. We're trying to remind ourselves of our confidence, our trust in Hashem. Uvalayla zeh sarech gam kein rechitza. So on this night, we're cleansing ourselves. We're kashering our kelim inside and out in order to prepare ourselves to what? To be receptacles, to be kelim, to be proper vessels to receive a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life. Okay? All right, let's jump. Let's turn the page. Ad kan, the Pesach section. You'll tell me there's a lot more here, and I'll tell you, I know, but it's very Kabbalistic, and I have no idea what it's talking about. So we're going to jump to the Haggadah section. Okay? So let's jump to the Haggadah section. A lot of beautiful Torahs in the Haggadah section. Let's see. Again, many of them are also very, very, very much Al-Pi Kabbalah. Just for a second to, you know, to go weiter on this idea of kind of the relationship building that we're doing at the Seder. So we'll continue on page Kuf Lamed Aleph for those who have this official Shir edition. And it's not too late. It's not too late to get a copy. I still have copies. Okay? Anyone who joined late in the game? All right, but let's jump in over here. We say at the beginning of the Seder, in the beginning of Magid, rather, Holach Ma'anya, This is the bread of our affliction, right? That our ancestors ate in Mitzrayim. And then we say, Kol dichvin yesei v'yecho. Right over here. Everyone see it? Kol dichvin yesei v'yecho. Anyone who's the coffin, right? Anyone who's hungry. Anyone who's dichvin. Kol dichvin yesei v'yecho. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yefsach. And anyone who is needy, anyone who wants or needs, come join us for Pesach, right? Now, it's hard to understand the line, obviously, in the context of Karban Pesach. You can't invite a friend for Karban Pesach. You have to pre-register for Karban Pesach. Okay, but we're saying it, let's say, from a Gullus perspective, right? We're inviting everyone in. And many questions are asked. Why are we inviting people in? We're already sitting at the table. It would have been made more sense to invite people before we got the Seder going, right? Some say, I think Rav Soloveitchik explained, that just the fact that we're able to invite is indicative of our move towards Cheiras. A person who barely has enough for themselves can't afford to invite guests. The fact that we can afford to invite someone in, whether we're actually inviting someone in at this point of the Seder or not, the fact that we could invite someone is itself indicative of a free person. Right? The same thing is true for Manish Tana. We ask questions, we don't really give such great answers. The fact that you have permission to ask is a sign of a free person. A slave can't ask. You can't say to your Egyptian taskmaster, why? Why should I build bricks for Paro? You can't ask why. A free person is able to have a conversation. A free person of means, is able to invite others. Okay, but that's what we say. Kol dichvin, yesei v'yichol. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. Kol ditzrich, yesei v'yifsach. Whoever needs, come and join us for Pesach. Okay, what does it mean on a deeper level? Kol dichvin yesev yechol, dehainu she'anu mispalim lahabore baruchu, hanikra kol. We say, Hashem, you are kol, you are everything. And therefore, we say to Hashem, please, Hashem, v'hu kofin u'mishtokek l'zyachir imanu. Kol dichvin, Hashem, we know that you're hungry. You're not hungry for food, obviously God doesn't eat. So why do we bring Hashem so many karbanos? The answer is because a karban, let's remind ourselves what the word means. Karov. Hashem wants to be close with us. He wants to be connected to us. So we begin actually with the tefillah. We're saying, Kol dichvin, Hashem, we know that you're starving for a relationship with us. And guess what? Obviously, we're starving for a relationship with you. And therefore, we invite Hashem, as Hashem invites us, we're kind of inviting each other. Let's get together. And let's eat together. What does that mean to eat together? So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Nikra Kol, V'hu Kafin U'mishtokek L'Hisyached Imanu, and Hashem, who's, so to speak, starving to have that exclusive relationship with us, and we betray Him so often. Every time we do an Avera, we're adulterers. We break our marriage with Hashem. It's a horrific crime. V'hu Yaseh L'man Shemo L'Zakosenu Shenucha L'Hisyached Imo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask of you, for the sake of your great name, help us to be able to unite with you, to cling to you, to have yichud with you. And that's what it means, yesei v'yecha. Literally, come and eat. But we know that achila is a code word for what? For intimacy. Not just physical intimacy, right? Not just sexual relations, but also that. Why is eating associated with intimacy? Well, we find it by Potiphar. Potiphar says, Yosef, I'm putting you in charge of everything except for the bread that I eat, the food that I sustain myself from. Rashi says, it means stay away from my wife. Right? So intimacy, right? Intimacy and eating have a strong connection. Again, what exactly that connection is a good question. Is it just that it's one of the most basic bodily urges and bodily needs? Right? Is it the fact that when you eat food, you insert the food into your body, and so to an intimate relationship, the bodies become co-joined, right? They're united in a very intimate way. But what we're saying is, Hashem, we want to be one with you. We want to be intermingled with you. We don't want to be two separate entities. We want to become one with you. So kol dichvin, Hashem, we know you're starving to connect to us, and we're starving to connect to you. Yesei v'yechol. Let's eat together, right? Eating also is a sign of a relationship. When two people, are developing a relationship, eating is a very important part of how they get to know each other in the context of food. It's an interesting thing. So we ask Hashem, Kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. Hashem, we want to be close to you. We want to be connected to you. Please allow us to be one with you once again. Allow us to be intimate with you in our exclusive relationship. Okay? All right, let's go on. We jump ahead to Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Okay, we're on page Kuf Lamed Beis, the right-hand column. And we're going to touch on something that we learned once upon a time, Parshas Vayera. That was a long time ago. But it was one of my favorite pieces, and I'm sure when you get to get into this piece, it'll remind you. You'll remember how much you enjoyed the piece at the time, and we'll review it in part right now. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Right? Originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers. V'achshav, and now, kirvanu hamakom lavodaso. But now Hashem has brought us close. Hashem drew us in, and Hashem gave us the Torah. Chavra, it's a simple line, but think about it for a second. And just remind yourself of this truth. When did Hashem choose you? When did Hashem choose us? Hashem choose us on our best day? Or did Hashem choose us on our worst day? Hashem chose us at our worst. Look what it says. Perish, what it means is, Shebal hagada sider lesaper bizman gulaseinu. Bichdei shelo yomar adam hawil v'harei osi es ma'asai. Adheina ein li takana liskari vel Hashem. The Baal HaGadah is responding to us and reminding us of the process of Geula, that a person, again, may often say to himself, why would Hashem choose me? I'm not a first-round pick in the draft, maybe not even a second-round pick. After all that I've done wrong, there's no takana for me. There's no fixing for me. Why would Hashem want to draw me close? Right? That's the question a person might say. So the Baal HaGadah responds to that. Ela Adraba. Yischazek ha'adam al koponim lashuv mahayom. A Jew has the ability to always start fresh, to start right now. That's what Nisan is. Hachodesh hazel lachem, hischadshus. If you haven't had a great semester, guess what? Come back after Pesach for the little bit of zman we have left, and learn like crazy. Get really into it. Why not? It's too. Nah, I'll start next year. Next year, I'm gonna make more of an effort in shir. But this year is done. No, it's not. Pesach is renewal. V'yomer belibo. Say in your heart. Say to yourself, "Halo mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu." Originally, our ancestors were idol worshippers. Look at the next three words. V'af al pi chein kirvanu hamakom lavodaso. It's a chiddush. At the time we were idol worshippers, nonetheless, Hashem chose us. That's very generous, Hashem. No. Hashem was willing to overlook all of our avodah zara. Af al pichein. Nonetheless, Hashem chose us. That's amazing. That's such a kindness. Pesach is chesed. We spoke about it many times. It's chemla, right? It's rachmanis. Pesach is the yom tov of Avram Avinu, the Baal Chesed. So Hashem comes to us with unbelievable chesed on Pesach and says, "I don't care. Start fresh." Yeah, but no, Hashem says, leave that. I don't want to talk about that. Pesach is his man of tshuva, it's his man of starting over. It's the holiday of Avram Avinu, who was an idol worshipper. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Our avos were idol worshippers. Avram was an idol worshipper. It's explicit in the Rambam. Hilchos avodah zarah perek aleph halacha gimel. Avram was an idol worshipper. And yet Hashem chose him. So Chava, if you remember, we learned about this at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when Avram was sitting at the entrance of his tent. And we quoted the Medrash at the time that we're about to quote again. Umatzinu b'medrash. Chad Amar, one opinion says, Ben Arba'im u'shmona shana hikir Avram es boro. Avram was 48 years old when he recognized his creator. V'hayim mitztar ba'atzmo ala shanim sha'avru. And Avram was all depressed about the years that had gone by. If I would have gotten more into it in high school, if I would have got more into it in college, if I would have got more into it shana aleph, I would have grown up in Bnei Brak or in the old city of Yerushalayim, I'd be a different type of Jew today. If I would have done this, I would have done that. Right? I had that really great Rebbe in 8th grade, but I was too cool and I wasn't willing to be Makabel. I wasn't open to learning. Right? Avram Avinu is 48 years old and he's upset at himself. Rebbe Akiva is 40 years old and he's upset at himself. And Hashem says it's not too late. And these tzaddikim understood. They really wanted to. They had the ratzon to, you know, to be Makabel. But they were hurting. And Hashem says, don't worry about it. V'inachameyu Hashem, Hashem comfort Avram, and said to him, V'yomer lo tal yaldu secha. Tal yaldu secha. Kamo tal. That your youth will be like the tal. Right? Like the dew on the grass. Like the dew on the ground. That so easily disappears. Don't worry, the sins of the past, don't get stuck on them. And that's what it means. On the other side of, so to speak, the river, our ancestors dwelled. Vayavdu v'gomer. And they were not fine Jews. Ve'ekach es Avraham va'olich oso b'chol Eretz Kanan. But I took Avraham Avinu, and I led him through Eretz Kanan. Dahainu sh'al yedei mahalcho lefnei Hashem, b'tzidkaso, gavar v'shalat al kol Eretz Kanan. But Avraham Avinu was able to overcome all of Eretz Kanan. What is Eretz Kanan? Whatever you want to imagine. Whatever was the bad of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Kanan is the negativity of Eretz Yisrael. And I was able to take Avram, what? Out of all of Eretz Kanan. I got him out of the entire Eretz Kanan. Okay? So, Chevra, that's something we have to believe is possible. And again, Pesach is the night where we have the opportunity to do so. Okay, let's learn about two wicked people in our history. One's name is Paro, one's name is Lavan. Who was worse? Well, we say in the Haggadah, Tzei Ulamad, let's review. Bike ma bikesh Lavan ha'arami. What was Lavan's wicked intentions? It was really bad. Shaparo lo gazar ela al hazacharim. Paro tried to kill the Jewish baby boys. V'Lavan bikesh lakor esakol. But Lavan tried to stop Yaakov Avinu from marrying his daughters. And Lavan tried to uproot everything. He tried to destroy the Jewish people. Right? Aram yoved avi v'yered mitzrayim. Yeah, in a certain sense, Lavan is sort of the root of everything that goes wrong. Lavan is gullus. Yaakov Avinu, 20 years, and based Lavan, making him crazy, making him work like a slave, basically. So Paro was bad. Paro targeted the males. Lavan was worse. He targeted the females as well. What does that mean? What does that actually mean? Ki Paro haya kol kviraso v'yima'ein shetispashit ha'ashpah al yedei b'nei Yisrael. Paro, in his kfira, in his rejection of Hashem, tried to block Bnei Yisrael from what? From receiving the hashpa of Hashem. Vehemin shu'ut sarech lekab hashpa me'elaha de'elahaya. Paro says, listen, I believe that there's something called Elohim. I believe that there's a way that through the stars, through the constellations, through the messengers of the Creator, one can receive hashpa. One could be on the receiving end, can be influenced by the, you know, by something. By the sun, the moon, the stars, whatever it is. But you can't have a direct relationship with the source. So Paro wanted us to believe that you need to be makabel your hashpa. Again, look at the words. Me'elaha de'elohaya. Right? From the godly beings that were created by the God source. Rakshalo ratza lekabel al yedei avodas Yisrael es Hashem. Rakshalo ratza lekabel al yedei avodas Yisrael es Hashem. But your ability to influence is limited. Now, in my copy here, I circled the words avodas Yisrael because that's the name of the sefer, and he doesn't use the term all that often. We'll see it again in Parsha Shmini, Amir Hashem. But Paro doesn't want us to believe that what? That the Avodas Yisrael, that the work of the Jewish people, is as meaningful as it actually is. So now, what does it mean to kill the men, but to keep the women? Right? What does it mean to kill the boys, but to keep the girls? A male is a zachar. No, that's the same thing. A zachar is a mashpia. Right? Male as a spiritual concept, is the concept of hashpa, of influencing, of being mashpia. A female is a makabel, is a receiver. Think about it again, first and foremost, in the creation of a child. The man is the one who's mashpia his zera, his seed, which the woman receives and fertilizes the egg, and then the birth of a child is able to take place over the course of the woman nurturing. She's makabel from her husband, And then she contains within her for that period of time, that long period of creating, forming that child. And then she's able to give birth to that child, right? So the male and female energy, so to speak, right, is the male plays a more outward role, the female plays a more inward role, okay? It's not 100% true in every situation, right? But that's the root of Zachar and the Keva. That's the root of Zachar and the Keva. Male is mashpia, female is receiving. So Paro says, let's kill the boys, let's keep the girls. Let's train the Jews to what? Not to be able to influence, not to be Zachar, but to be Nekeva. Maybe to receive. To be someone who's able to what? To take from others, but not able to give. So Paro, in a sense, is destroying our relationship with Hashem because he's making it one-sided, right? It means I stand, so to speak, online to get my hand out, to get my welfare check from Hashem, right? Hashem, I can't give anything to you, but I can take from you, and I'm appreciative, and that's a form of a relationship. When Hashem gives you, and I stand there, and I say, I'm sorry, I can't provide for myself. Hashem, please provide for me, and I receive. There's a very holy thing in that. But that's not what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to be true partners with Hashem. So Paro wants to shut down the possibility of us being what? Zachar, of being masculine in the relationship, of being influencing, of having a say in our relationship with Hashem. We should just be makabel. We should just receive. Not even necessarily receiving from the source, receiving by way of the stars, the constellations. Paro is trying to create a gap between us and Hashem. We're not chasen and kala, who share an intimate life together, but we're distant from each other. We have some relationship, but it's a distant relationship. So that's what it means. Kol haben hayilod hayora tashlichu. Paro says, take all of the Jewish baby boys and throw it into the Nile. Aval kol habas techayun. But maintain, we can keep the daughters alive. What does that mean? Shehevin sha'al kol panim tzarech lios v'bechinas nukva lekabel hashba. Paro understood the ability to be more like a nekeva, to receive, but to influence, to be able to be zachar in one's relationship with Hashem, to make demands of Hashem, the way tzaddikim are able to demand that Hashem change his mind, the way a Moshe Rabbeinu could talk Hashem out of destroying Bnei Yisrael. Paro couldn't grasp such an idea. But we have to grasp such an idea. Hashem wants us to be proactive in the relationship, not just on the receiving end. What about Lavan? Lavan bikesh lakaras hakol. Lavan wanted to uproot everything. Lavan's the worst. Lavan in many ways is worse than Paro. Lavan higdil akvira. Lavan was such a kofar. Ba'omro shemiyom shebara elokim ha-shamayim va'aretz. From the time that God created the world, v'sidr ha-ma'arachos, and put things in motion, heim holchim b'sidr ha-mesudar, u'me'ata v'hala inenu tzarech lakabel ha-ashpa. Everything's in place. Hashem spun the wheel once, and now God disappeared. You're not even receiving from Hashem. Hashem is not involved in the world at all. Paro wanted to shut down the channel that we should be able to influence, you know, outward towards Hashem. But at least Hashem is still involved with us. Lavan came to say, no, God created the world, spun it in motion, put everything into play, and that's it. And then withdrew. So Lavan wanted to destroy, in a sense, the entire relationship. Kishimo, now he says something deep here. Kishimo Lavan, zel uma zel Lavan ha'elyon. Lavan, interesting, we come to the Seder dressed in white, right? Many have a minhag to wear a kittel. What is Lavan? Lavan, he says, corresponds, in a sense, to the what? To the Lavan ha'elyon, the Lovan ha'elyon. What does that mean? The Ratzon ha'nelam, the whiteness of Hashem, the absolute purity of Hashem's Ratzon. See, we live in a world of colors, right? We live in a world of different experiences. But at the root, there's nothing other than the Ratzon Hashem. It's sort of like that pure blinding light. So Lavan, in a sense, the name Lavan is ironic. One of the students of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe David Valley, wrote in his Sefer, he says, Lavan, what a joke. How could you call him white? He's redder than the reddest red. That's what he writes. He's red, right? Esav is called Edom. Esav is red. Lavan, white? He's not white. He's the biggest thief. He's the biggest Rasha, right? So white is a name that he sort of has stolen from himself, right? But it's an ironic name because it's the antithesis of everything that he is. He's red. He's black, right? He represents that darkness of sin, not the purity, right? Of the Lovan Ha'elyon, of the Ratzon Hashem, right? Of the pure spiritual realities by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs the world. He tries to make the world a totally different place where there is no relationship with Hashem. The kafar beratzon habori baruch hu, and he denies the truest desire of Hashem. And the truest desire of Hashem is that Hashem wants a relationship with us. That's why Hashem made the world. Hashem wants a relationship with the lower world. Dainu agam shabara olamo beratzono mikol makom achar bria sove vaholech al pi seder hamesudar ve'enim tzrichim leratzono ve'enim mischachim b'chol regel leratzono. Right? Lavan denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world at all. As if everything just is. V'zeh haya ha-pagam shalo. And this is the terrible pagam of Lavan. To think that what? That God has no interest in the world. Not in receiving from us, not in interacting with us from his perspective. V'omar belibo, ki keratzon atzmo kein ya'aseh ve'ein mocha. V'chein nemar v'gilas Esther. V'yasu b'soneim kiritzonam. This is what it means. Lavan says, "I'm going to train, right? I'm going to train, Yaakov, to not believe that he's in control, has any control of the situation, and that's why Lavan tries to manipulate Yaakov in that way." But the story of Purim, we know that what they did to their enemies as they desired. What does that mean? That the revenge is the exact opposite. So, in a sense, Pesach is the Yom Tov where we interact with Hashem so directly. We invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our homes. Hashem comes to our Seder. You think you're going to shut down the relationship with Hashem? Yasu b'soneim, it says in the Megillah, v'yasu b'soneim kiritzonam. We did to them like they desired to do to us. The hainu, that the nakama, that the revenge, shenokmu mehem nakama al machshavtam, she'omrim b'livam she'osim hakol b'ratzon atzvam v'zeh sheker, that they wanted to claim, Haman thought I'm in charge of the world. What a sheker. You think that your ratzon is going to dictate reality? Not a chance. Ki emes hakol hu ratzon habore baruch hu. Everything is ratzon Hashem. Even the evil things that you're doing is part of Hashem's master plan. Shabar ha'olamos v'afilu ratzon hamachishim. Even the ratzon of the deniers, even the ratzon of the bad guys is ratzon Hashem. It's mamish all Hashem. And therefore we say, Arami oved avi v'yered mitzrayma. An Aramean, referring to Lavan, tried to destroy my ancestor, and we ended up in Mitzrayim. Who ended up in Mitzrayim? So the Pashup shot is, we ended up in Mitzrayim. He ended up in Mitzrayim. Who's he? Our ancestor, Yaakov, ended up in Mitzrayim. But the Shlach Kadosh explains, no, Lavan ended up in Mitzrayim. How did Lavan end up in Mitzrayim? Ki Lavan yared leMitzrayim beGilgal Bilam. Lavan and Bilam are the same soul. Lavan ends up in Mitzrayim in the form of Bilam. Shehaya echad migimul yoatze paro. The Gemara tells us that Paro asked three people what to do with the Jews. You know this Gemara? Three people what to do with the Jews. He asked Yisro, and he asked Eov, and he asked Bilam. Yisro ran away. Yisro said, I'm not going to say anything bad about the Jewish people. Yisro ran away from Paro and would not harm the Jewish people. Eov remained silent, and therefore he was punished. How could you be empathetic? How could you be silent? How could you not respond in some form when someone's plotting a horrific genocide? All right, so Eov remained silent, and he was punished for that. Bilam was the third advisor of Paro. What did Bilam say? Bilam said, kill the Jews. So he's Lavan. Lavan and Bilam is the same soul. V'zeo sh'amar v'yered onus al pi adibor. But you have to realize that even Bilam, which is Lavan, who wanted to destroy the Jewish people completely, you should realize that Anus al pi adibor, even the words coming out of his mouth, are being forced upon him. Haman thinks he's in charge. Paro thinks he's in charge. Lavan thinks he's in charge. Bilam thinks he's in charge. He thinks he knows what he's saying, but he doesn't. You know why? Ki gam rishas harisham uritzonam laharali Yisrael. Such a deep idea. That even the evil that the enemies of the Jewish people are trying to do to us, ein lahem koach ba'atzmam chas v'shalom, ki yem akol beratzon habore baruch hu. It's not really them. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu making it happen for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the one who's running the show. It looks at times like they're in charge, but they're not. And that's something that we review on the night of the Seder, to remind ourselves there was never a second where it was out of Hashem's hands. And that's why he continues in the next short little piece, Va'avarti Beretz Mitzrayim, ani v'lo malach. It was me, it wasn't an angel who took you out of Mitzrayim. Ani hu v'lo acher. Dahainu, that is to say, Shehera HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem showed them. Ki kol kolchosom machshavosom uretzonom hurak b'retzono yizbarach. Everything that ever happens to a Jew is from the Ratzon Hashem. It's not your boss. It's not your spouse. It's not your kid. It's not your chavrusa. It's not your neighbor. It's not your parents. It's all Ratzon Hashem. It's all in the hands of Hashem. Every moment is in the hands of Hashem. Ulekishuyirtze yavir ruach hatuma min haaretz. When Hashem wants to bring Mashiach, He will. When Hashem wants to take you out of Mitzrayim, He will. Hashem charge. And that's what we say in the Haggadah. Ani hu acher. I am who? I am he. It's like someone else. It's ani. Ani hu. Perish. Afilu kishabab b'chinas hu. Even though it looks like someone else. Right? V'nistar kvodo k'dushaso. And you don't see it as Hashem. It's a Lavan. It's Paro. It's Bilam. No, it's not. Ani hu. Then when it looks like who, it's really ani. V'lo acher. There is no sitra achra. It's not acher. It's not the Yetzer Hara, and it's not your Chavrusa's fault. It's always Hashem. Whether it's an up or it's a down, it's all happening in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It never leaves Hashem's hands, not even for a second. Okay, Chavar, let's end for just 2 more minutes, maybe 5 more minutes, with Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, let's end with some beautiful teachings for Sfiras HaOmer, which he has here on the Yom Sheni for Pesach. We'll just end very briefly. He says, he explains here that Sfiras HaOmer, as we mentioned before, is really, again, a replay of everything that we experienced on Pesach. And he explains actually here very beautifully that the question of the Chacham at the Seder, when the Chacham says, Ma ha'edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem, what the Chacham is really asking is, what do you need Sfiras HaOmer for? We just did this whole thing at the Seder. We just received all of Hashem's light. Why do I need to chazer it over? Why do I need to review it? You know, a chacham sometimes acts that way, right? A chacham thinks like, I'm a smart guy. You told it to me once. I don't need to learn it again. I learned this sugya one time. I don't need to review the sugya, right? But a wise person understands that just because you heard it once doesn't mean you can't hear it again. So the chacham asks at the Seder, why do I need a Sfiras HaOmer? Why do I need to go through it again? And the answer to the chacham is that right now you're very spiritually elevated. You're on a high from Pesach, and that's great. But there's going to be times in your life when you're not so inspired. And therefore, the avoda of Sfiras HaOmer, again, is to try, so to speak, from the smaller days, in the more lowly moments of one's life, to be able to have little packets, so to speak, of spiritual energy to be able to carry you through. That's why Sfiras HaOmer, he says, is in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor begins, Emor Ela Kohanim, Ve'amarta aleihem. And Rashi says, Lahazir gedolim ala katanim. You need to what? To take from the big days, the gedolim, and carry them into the days of the katanim. It's not just saying that the big kohanim have to take care of the little kohanim, but it's saying that the big moments in life have to be stored away to carry you through the periods of famine when you're not feeling as spiritually connected or spiritually inspired. But just 2 short little pieces that he has here. Okay? One is something that we mentioned before, the Rachaim HaKadosh also explains this, but I just remind you that the word usvartem doesn't only mean to count. He says here, just this very short little piece over here, usvartem lachem mimacharas haShabbos. We begin counting Sfira on the second day of Pesach, after Yom Tov, after Shabbos, which is a code word for Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach. Usvartem milashon sapir v'yahalom. Usvartem is a lashon of sapphire, of a diamond, of a precious gem. Shatem tzrichem lahair lachem atzmechem b'tshuva mikol avonos. Usvartem lachem. Pesach is a car wash. It's a spiritual car wash. You're not just cleaning your house, you're not just cleaning your car, but you're cleaning your soul. Usvartem lachem. Make yourself shine. How do I do that? B'tshuva mikol avonos. Get rid of your chametz. Come out the other side of Pesach feeling new, feeling fresh. Ratzalomar mirov akadusha shabalachem miyom aleph de Pesach. That on that first night of Pesach again, shabalel Pesach mamshich kedusha from the shalosh matzos, from the arba kosos, right? Three matzos, 4 cups of wine. 3 plus 4 is 7. 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. By the time you get to Shavuos, mamish, you're a different person. So svartem lachem imacharas haShabbos. Take advantage of these days to what? To allow yourself to be cleansed. And last but not least, the final idea for today. In his closing paragraph of his writings on Sfiras HaOmer, and this is a very famous piece, Chevra, a very, very famous piece. The Kodesh Der Maggid says, you'll see this quoted all the time, if you pick up any Chassidus Sefer, you know, compilation of Torah for Sfira, you'll for sure see this teaching from our Rebbe. Usvartim lachem, right? Usvartim lachem mimacharas haShabbos. Count Sfiras HaOmer. When do we count until? Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviya, 7 weeks, till the end of 7 weeks. Tisperu chamishim yom, you should count 50 days. Count up to 50 days. But says the Kodesh Der Maggid, and definitely this could die to underline over here, Ratzalomar. What does it mean? Kishalo asa tshuva, v'lo heyir es atzmo tekaf b'tchila sfiras omer. If you're running behind schedule, Avram Avinu was 48 years old when he first got started. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old when he first got started. Hashem is giving us an opportunity. We're not going to blow it. We're going to receive it on the first night of Pesach. But if you, God forbid, 7 weeks from now, show up right before Shavuos, and you're feeling like, I'm not ready for Kabbalah Satorah, says the Kodesh Der Maggid, until the last day, you can still do it. Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviyas, until you get to the end of 7 weeks, Tisperu chamishim yom. What is Tisperu? Not just count, but you can illuminate. You can illuminate all 50 days. Again, Ratzalomar. If you didn't make yourself shine at the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer, al yomar she'ein li od tikva. Don't say there's no hope. Ella rather ad macharas haShabbos haShviyas tisperu. Until you get to what? Until you complete the 7 weeks, tisperu. You can make yourself shine. You still have time. Ratzalomar kol zman sheyesh afilu yom echad mi'asfira. As long as you still have 1 day of Sfiras HaOmer left, tisperu, ratzalomar, tucha laheir bayom ze kol chamishim yom. You can make all 50 days shine, al yedei tshuva. It's never too late for a Jew to do what he needs to do. And then he kraftem mincha chadasha laHashem. You can bring a new offering to Hashem. Achar kach on Shavuos, you'll be able lakariv es atzma mechadash, lios munach ben droyin demalka, to find yourselves resting in the drawing the Malka in the hands of Hashem, the hug that Hashem is going to give you, right? The embrace that Hashem is going to give you in the Yichud room, right after standing at Har Sinai getting married to Hashem, v'zeu mincha chadash al Hashem. That's what these days are all about, an opportunity to renew, completely renew our relationship with Hashem. Okay, so Chevra, you know, it's a lot. It's very overwhelming. It's a lot that Hashem is offering us. But again, it's not demanding of us. Offering us is the right word. Hashem is offering us the opportunity to what? To have yichud with Him. To eat with Him. To be intimate with Him. To be close with Him. To be exclusive with Him. Right? Ah, but I'm an Obed Avodah Zarah. Don't worry about it. Afal pichein. Kervanu hamakom lavodasam. And then to be able throughout the course of Sfiras HaOmer to keep working on it. To realize that the ups and downs, ani hu. That when it looks like who, it's ani. It's all Hashem the whole way through. And to realize that these are tremendous days of tshuva, such opportunities to start fresh and to bring that mincha chadash al Hashem. Okay? So we thank our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, for inspiring us, for guiding us, and we should be zocha to live the teachings that he has shared with us over the course of these last couple of weeks.